Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ah, dear, oh dear. Welcome to A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofgiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 29th of August, 2023. I'm David McGimsey. That's Simon Kitchen. As you can see, we're a man down. He's supposed to be here, but we got a text from him like 2 minutes ago saying, lads, crack on without me. His MacBook's down. So hopefully he'll be along in a couple of minutes. He's got the agenda. He's got the guest. He knows what time they're coming on at, who they are. I don't. So we've just got to wing it for a few minutes, hoping that he weighs in. So, Simon, how are you?
I'm okay. What we should do is, as soon as he comes on, we should just go, oh, and that's the show for the night. Thanks very much indeed. No, I'm good, mate. It's good to get hockey back again. And not the results we want. Everybody wants to win, you know, every game to play. And we'll go on to talk about that. But all good, mate. What about you?
Bit like yourself, Simon, really good to get back to the rink. You know, as I've got older and I've matured in my hockey watching, I look for different things in the game, but I also kind of enjoy the people a lot more, and I got to spend a little bit of time with Taff, which is always like, I know he's grumpy at times, but like it's really one of the highlights of my week when you get to have a cup of tea and a hug with Taff and get a wee story and you find out what he's been doing over the summer. Or I got to spend a few minutes with Mace just chatting about the kids and stuff, you know, not even talking hockey, just having a bit of a grown-up chat, because you spend all summer with your kids. It's great sometimes just to talk to another adult. So I had a lot of fun down the ring, talking to Todd Kelman, Neil Francis, where Chew the Fat, talked about last year, talked about what's coming up, talked about the CHL. So it was really lovely. That was all pre-game because there was a 30-minute face-off delay. It's as someone quite witty from the Cardiff Devils I've seen said, the Giants had to wait for their second plane coming for the rest of the roster, you know. So it was good. It was nice to be back, as I say, in the rink. And what about you back, and although you're working in the rink, nice to see 6,322 through the doors.
Yeah, it was just incredible. You know, we knew it was going to be a good crowd about 10 days ago. Ticket sales were going really, really well. And then all of a sudden it just really lifted off. And you know, the comms team did a great job putting the whole, you know, getting it out there and getting their digital content around. There's different screens all over Northern Ireland, you know, promoting the team, promoting the sport, promoting the game. So it's been really good. It's. I mean, we genuinely weren't expecting those numbers on the first game. But, you know, I think, because it's been off the ice now for, I think it was 131 days, I said, when I counted it. It's been, you know, it's one of those ones where you just, everybody's looking forward to it. I think that's the easiest way of looking. You know, we managed to, as I say, we managed to get everybody there. Charlie Carter arrived in 2 days before face-off and probably suffering a wee bit of jet lag still, but he turned up and he played decent. And it's just really good to get it back again. And the arena was absolutely buzzing. So, that's where we are.
Same as Saturday night at extent. Now, I know the Cardiff Arena, the Vindico Arena, I think it's called this year. I know it's only a little fun-size arena, and you could put it in the west end of our place. But it was packed thereafter as well, around 3,000 in on the night. So, you know, the two main franchises in the league, if you like, both packing their barns on the first night of preseason is really good. Sets a standard that's there for the rest of the season. But here, let's go on and talk about the game, Simon. I don't know if I can. I'm going to try and pull a couple of things up here. See somebody there. Oh, our good friend Anthony Russell from Banners was saying we should call Davey the techie, but I'm not sure whether I can even do this, boys. But let's see what happens here. If I say Devil's Home, let's see what comes up here. Says I don't know what's going to happen. It's down there. So if I say the stream, what's going to happen? Here we go. So these are the highlights. Simon, why didn't you were there? Why don't you talk us through what went down in the game?
Yeah, I mean, the first goal was a miscommunication between Travis Brown and Charlie Curley. You know, it obviously got out there a little bit of fisticuffs beforehand. With
that was outside the goal was before the fight, but I haven't kept the card of goals in because I'm quite partisan. So the highlights start. So if you want to talk about the goal, because it's a very good point you make, it's just first night communications, two guys going back in the puck and they both just turn at the wrong time. So
yeah, basically, I mean, it's one of those ones where, you know, you'd rather get them out of your way early in the season and preseason. And again, it's all about communicating and, you know, they met each other the day before. They should have known better. Let's be honest. They should have known better, but the Cardiff Devils capitalized on it. You make a mistake at this level, you expect to be punished and, you know, basically thrown right out front. And it was a good finish from Cardiff Devils. And then, you know, this big hit from Riley Brandt and on Sato. Sato coming into the league, you know, played in Finland last year. Certainly the Finnish league is nowhere near as physical as what the IHL is. Riley Brandt, when he's on the ice, you need to be aware he's on the ice. You know, he hits hard. Mostly fair. It was a good hit that he caught Sato with. Mark Cooper didn't hesitate. Stepped in there, and it was a spirited bite. He got a couple of punches off each. I don't think it was. If you're looking at it from a Jazz point of view, I think it's fair to say it was a bit of a draw scrap. Every single person in the arena was on their feet. Every one of them. And then again, while you're taking the serving the penalty in there, Tedesco. Yeah. This is why we brought him in, and you know what he's capable of. Great move, underestimated from Bariga, basically driving the net. Defenseman goes with him, doesn't cover his slot to a certain extent, and Tedesco come right across the front of Ben Bynes and manages to slot it home. But again, overall, you know, the first period and finishing the Devils, I think the Devils went in 2-1 at the end of the first, didn't they? Their second goal, again, you know. Adam would be disappointed giving the goal up for sure. But when you take the positives out of the game, and this you've just seen Travis Brown stepping up there and Pietrangelo stepping in. And again, I said it at the time, a lot of respect for players who jump in and protect their teammates. No issue at all with that. They need to step in when it's a fair hit. Preseason, you're going to do that. I'd have done exactly the same thing. You know, in a playoff game, it's probably not going to happen. Big hit from Travis. Pietrangelo stepped in. Big goal. Punch from the first one. And he was winding up for the second one. And he held back. Travis was down in a vulnerable position and they did really well. So, what about your thoughts on Davey Phillips' first goal for the club back, being back?
Quite a well-worked goal in that it's gone in deep. I think it's potentially I'll wind forward here, but I think it's Quinn Preston goes in and lays the body behind, which forces the puck on around the wall. Getting used to numbers and stuff, Simon. And it's popped out. Greg Prince goes and plays the body in the back of the wall. But what he does immediately is he doesn't stand and admire what he does. He goes in straight back and gets in front of Ben Bynes. Then, as you say, Quinn Preston pops it out. Davey Phillips, if you go through the shot here, you'll see that Greg Prince has got himself right back in front of Bounds and creates that screen. Nas coming in off the right wall as well involved. And so it was a lovely play from him, but set up by the big body of Prince, who went on Saturday night and had another great game, uses that body size really well. Great to see Davey Phillips back in Teal, of course. And then, obviously, the Cardiff Devils went back in front. And the old CHL rules that we're playing, good of Cardiff to play them, good of Cardiff to help tune us up for the CHL, because the new rules, for anybody watching that hasn't been over the CHL rules. A minor penalty is effectively a major penalty now. The time runs for the full 2 minutes. Doesn't matter how many goals are scored. And we go on the Saturday night where it actually came massively to our advantage. But it allowed the Belfast Giants to... we got quite a late penalty in the game. I think 3-6. I would already pull Besco at this stage, obviously. We're 6-on-4 there. And really nice eye-to-hand coordination from... Aaron Nazarian at the back sticker pops up and he just one times it out of the air and makes it 3-3 and puts us into overtime, which was not so much of a damn squib, but not that many chances, and then into a long shootout procession where both goaltenders were absolutely superb through the piece. And as you say, Cardiff coming up with the extra goal in the shootout. Things to be worked on, I guess, like a lot of the guys in less than a week, as you say, Charlie Curry just in, 24, 36 hours before the game. Bit of jet lag, guys had a long hard week practice, they had that skid test early in the week, getting to know each other. You talked to our Simon about the very first goal that we conceded, just little communication things that didn't happen on Saturday night, you know, those things get ironed out. This is the time they iron them out, isn't it? These are what these games are for. And yes, everybody wants to win everything. I want to win, you know, when I'm playing against the kids in the garden. It's just some people have got the want to win at whatever they do, and of course we'll want to win, a big crowd in there, but I don't think anybody's going to be too worried about the result. And then obviously the boys jump on a plane, delayed flight the next day, face off delayed. And I don't actually think, Simon, in terms of the flight and stuff being delayed, that's a bad thing to allow the guys to get in the mentality. These things can happen during the season. Get these out of the way early. Here's an experience for you. If you're delayed again, this is what you do with your extra half hour in the airport. This is what you do when you get to the rink, because you need to be preparing a little bit quicker than you did before. You'd be out of the rink later that night, so you've got to be, you know, prepared to go to bed later, up earlier, all these things that, you know, will be a learning curve for a lot of these guys. They're all, I'm not going to say season pro, but they've all been about, they know what it's about. So what yourself, Saturday night yourself, Simon, we obviously jumped out that really fast start where we got the two power play goals on that first penalty. I'll try and get the video up while you stall for time while I try and get the video.
I didn't get to watch the game at the time. I was busy. I was out working. And I watched it back on Sunday. I have to admit, I thought we really controlled the game for much of much of the play. You're 5 minutes. Oh, there's that penguin. It's sort of one of those ones where, you know, you get off to a really good start. I'm trying to remember the name of their goalie, their new goalie, Booth. Faced a lot of rubber. I think it was 48 shots on target, 78 altogether around those numbers. You just want to basically try get through these games as fit and as healthy as possible. And yes, you want to win. Yes, you want to get some leadership. Yes, you want to get some guys basically finding chemistry early on. But when you get to a stage and you're giving up four goals in about 6 minutes, and basically we just fell asleep for that length of time. You talk about getting up early, missing, you know, flight being delayed. You're not getting your sort of pre-game routine set up as well. And those three things can cause a challenge. But look, Adam always says, make no excuses here. We'll just get on with it. Do what we got to do. I mean, look at that finisher from Quinn Preston. I'm telling you now, this kid is going to he's got it. He has got it. I've watched him in practice again this week. He's got skill to burn. He really, really has. Sees the ice really well. I mean, you were at the game on Saturday night, David. Did you see his Michigan attempt in overtime?
Yeah. What he has says, I'm not even sure whether it was referenced by Josh Roach on Friday night in the game, whether I was speaking to Coops before, I can't remember who it was that said about his quick release. And you see in that goal there, the puck's off his stick way before the Cardiff Tendies expecting it, and it's through the 5-hole there. But yeah, he's just got a little mental step ahead of other people there, which is, you know, as good as a yard of pace as the yard in his head. Unfortunately for Jackson Whistle, we coughed up a few goals there on Saturday night that, you know, early season form. I think, to be fair, there's probably one or two on Friday night as well that mid-season form goalies don't let in. So, you know, it's all good. Everybody got a good amount of ice time. Sean Norris really played well on Saturday night. But as you said, the most important thing was 5-on-5. We were dominant in terms of, certainly in terms of possession. Outshot them at least 2-1, I would say. I think, did you say 48-24 or something there, Simon? So we created chances. I guess and I'm not going to say concern because it's of no concern. It's a preseason friendly. we didn't just fill the net on Saturday night the way we did. Good to see the power play working really well. The PK is still at 100% over the weekend. PK is going to have to be really, really strong this week, especially with this minor major penalty rule that we're talking about. You give these Finnish teams, you know, big opportunities. we're going to run into big problems. So good to see the positives for me. Real strong penalty kill. Really strong 5-on-5 across the piece. I thought Saturday night were pretty dominant. Anything to add yourself on that?
Yeah, Saturday night again, I've said it already. I thought we played decent, apart from maybe a 5 or 6 minute spell in the second period. Jackson knows himself. He's got to do better on a couple of those occasions. There's a couple of goals that didn't get much support from that third one. We just coughed it up for them. You can't do that at this level. Make no mistake about it. The Cardiff Devils are going to be a really strong team this year. They've recruited very well. They've spent, you know, top-end money for top-end players. They're going to be a really, really tough opponent this year. I see it right the whole way throughout the league. You know, you even look down at the bottom of the league from last year, Fife Flyers, they've made some good signings. They really have. The Panthers coming up with a big signing there the day before yesterday, I think it was, and Adam Johnson played a cup of tea in the show, and got a lot of AHL games. So the Panthers, you know, let's be honest, the Panthers last season, I don't know what the Panthers fans think. I'm sure Jono would have a word or two to say about it, but it was absolutely horrendous. And when you're talking about, you know, wanting to compete at this level, Neil Black would have been fuming last year the way they turned out. What was it? They ended up sixth. It was fifth or sixth place, or maybe seventh, actually. I can't actually remember what it, but it wasn't good enough. It simply wasn't good enough. And, you know, when you're talking along the lines of this season and everybody says, oh, he looks good on paper. Hockey's not played on paper. It's about turning up and getting ready to go every single night. And whoever gets the best start doesn't necessarily, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But you look at Guildford last year. They're 14 points ahead of us and at the start of December. I managed to turn it around. So we've done it before. Do you want to go 14 points down against a first place team coming into December again this year? Absolutely not. So it's Adam will have the guys ready to go. It's important that, you know, this weekend, coming up against Finland, the Finnish team, sorry, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, in a few minutes, but it's imperative we don't take any penalties. You've seen it in the Giants penalties there. The Cardiff took a couple of early penalties on Saturday night, and it rolled over and rolled over. You can't be doing that against like Tampere and Lukko. It's these teams will be, you know, they've been practicing for 10 or 12 weeks and we're just in there not even a week. And they will be ready to go, make no mistake about it.
Right, well, says that's kind of the two games from the weekend covered. I see our first guest in the green room, but before that happens, your man has turned up.
Hello.
Hello,
Patty.
How are you?
Awful decent. Welcome to View from the Bridge, Patrick.
Thanks very much, mate. What a disaster that was! Listen, I've been watching you while I've been doing this. It's been a great show.
Has it been okay?
It's been fantastic. I was just taking a bit of
we're nearly finished, yeah.
I know. My apologies to you guys. My apologies to everybody. But it's been a great show so far. So let's start with the game that took place on Friday night.
No, that's not the end.
And one thing for me, and you'll forgive my throat as well, I had a bit of a heavy weekend. One of the things I took away from, I thought that the Giants did well as well, just listen to you, Sis, and you, Davey, as well, is that there were times when they really controlled the weekend. I felt that, you know, we were wanting to get from these two games against the Cardiff Devils all sorts of different practices and all sorts of different scenarios, because when these two Finnish teams come at us, they're going to come at us flying. So I feel from the weekend, we gained everything we needed to get from the two games against the Devils.
I guess the one thing that we kind of covered, Simon, on the first game was Mark Cooper and Travis Bryan having a little altercation, which, of course, in the CHL, we'll see you probably down the tunnel and a considerable Euro fine. Saturday night, obviously, Ollie Cooper did the same. He's led a hit on Josh Batch, not even particularly late, and they've skated around with each other. Do you want to go there? And then they've gone centre ice. And after the because the Giants had went from 3-0 up early in the game and would been clawed back to, and were 4-3 down, the odd goal and seven behind. And Ollie Cooper had that fight with Josh Batch and straight afterwards skated the Giants bench. Don't know what was said, but was obviously pumping the boys up. And we came out and dominated the rest of that third period. We really did. It's good to see. We talked about Coop stepping up for Kohei Sato. You seen, who was it, Petronello coming in for, I'm not sure who it was,
Josh Waller.
And Oliver trying to, you know, pump the rest of the team up. So that's got its place still in the game. You talked about it, Simon, 6,322 people, every single one of them not using their seat when that happens. So, you know, good to see us title hockey, but that's got to, obviously, that's not going to happen this week in the CHL, or we're going to be, remember Kevin Rain in our first foray into the CHL with that famous hair flip.
Liberace.
They came in on the day of the game, thought they were going to be Billy Big Balls and got sent home.
Get sent home with tail between their legs. Again. It was great.
But here, Paddy, we'll keep the man waiting long enough here.
Absolutely. And I'm delighted to welcome on to your view from the bridge. He scored the equalising goal on Friday night. That's Aaron Nazarian. How are you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Not too bad. Turn your phone 90 degrees. That should get you a better picture for it. Oh.
Screen's locked.
Lock.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't worry.
There we are.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for joining us, mate. Let's start with just your first real experience of Belfast Giants hockey in front of that crowd at the SSE Arena. Took place on Friday, and you set the place alight with that equalising goal. What was your take on the weekend?
It was awesome. You know, I didn't really know what to expect it being a preseason friendly. You know, I played in preseason games in the past, and the atmosphere wasn't even close to that. So, you know, it was a great, great atmosphere. The crowd was electric. And it was just awesome to get the first taste of playing in front of the home crowd.
What were you looking to get out of the weekend? Because obviously we've got two massive challenge games in Champions Hockey League coming up. So obviously there was a plan to gain something from these two games against the Devils.
Yeah, you know, I think we just wanted to focus on things we've been working on in practice, get some lines gelling, you know, get the power play going, the penalty kill, just fine tuning a little areas of our game to get ready for, some really good hockey in Finland. And I think we did that the second game versus, Cardiff. We ended up out shooting them, I think, almost double. So we were just trying to, fine tune our game and, get the ball rolling.
Ara, hi, Davey. One of my little roles within the club is to do some statistics. And whenever a new player signs for the club, I'm sort of, whether they're going to do a press release, they'll sometimes come to me and go, give us an interesting stat about Ara Nazarian. So I had to dig deep for you, but here's one that I came up with. In the last census, there's 34 Nazarians in England. There's 6 in Wales, 1 in Scotland, none in the Republic of Ireland, and there's now only 1 in Northern Ireland. You're the first Nazarian in Belfast.
That's great.
Wow, it's an honor, honestly. That's incredible. I didn't know that.
So there's 41 in the
UK. He doesn't get out much, Ara. He doesn't get out much.
There's 41 in the UK, and you're the only one on that side of the water. So I'm not sure whether it's congratulations, but it is what it is. But anyway, you enjoyed your first weekend. And when we're talking there, I don't know if you caught the tail end of what me and Simon were saying. You know, you had to go through that, the flight slightly delayed, face-off delayed, and all the little different things in game preparation that brings. So it just does throw a little something different into the mix for you.
Yeah, we got in a little late, so our warm-up was delayed, but it is what it is. I mean, it's a little adversity early on doesn't hurt. I mean, if anything, it helps us. And, you know, we prepared just like it's every other game, and we played well. And we played well. We had, like you guys were saying, we had a little lapse there for a few minutes, which cost us. But, at the end of the day, we're just trying to, gel together and get ready for the CHL. Upcoming.
And you'll have had now experience, obviously you've had the SSE with 6,000 people in it, you've had Cardiff now with over 3,000, so that's a nice experience for the first weekend of a pre-season exhibition, the two full houses.
Yeah, that was really cool. These are all places I've never been. I've never been to Belfast, I've never I've never been to Cardiff, so this is all new for me, and it's really cool. You know, it was really cool to hear the anthem that they did in Cardiff, and it was a great road game experience. And you know, I'm just excited for more games like that.
Nah, when you look at last weekend, obviously in Belfast and then in Cardiff, and you're only in the country just over a week now. Does it make it easier when you know guys and you know how familiar faces that the likes of Jacob Friend and Kohei Sato? Does it make it easier for you to settle in?
Yeah, for sure it does. You know, even knowing one guy on the team helps. Like you said, it's just a familiar face, and like you said, I played with Kohei at UNH. I played with Jacob in Jacksonville. I also played with Charlie Curdy my first year in Adirondack. So. You know, I know some guys, I knew some guys coming in, which helps. And I also knew some guys that have played here before. So, it definitely helps just knowing a few guys. It just makes it a little easier at the start, but you know, I've gotten to know, you know, all my teammates, and everyone's just been, really nice and welcoming so far. And it's been a great experience so far.
Who's the joker in the room?
The joker in the room. I think right now it's Sato. I think he's up there for Joker in the room right now.
Absolutely. Obviously, a big part of you coming to Belfast was you wanted to take part in the CHL. You've been on the ice now for a couple of days. You're getting ready for an early start tomorrow morning, and we do appreciate you coming on tonight. Thanks very much for that. What you know, obviously, the challenge ahead is going to be a big, big one. These two teams are top notch, and obviously with Tampere, you're playing against the CHL champions for last year. What sort of challenge are you expecting?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously they're a really fast team, so they're gonna come out flying, and they're fast, you know, physical. They've got a great power play. You know, I heard, you know, you guys were talking about we need to stay out of the box, which is true, especially with those CHL rules. I mean, we scored two power play goals in Cardiff the other night. You know, that's a really interesting rule. I've never you know, played or seen that before. So, yeah, they're gonna be fast. They're gonna be skilled. You know, we're going out there to make a statement and, you know, work hard and, you know, anything can happen. So, you know, we're just going to play our game and, you know, see what happens out there.
What do you think of that rule? Dave, what do you think of that rule? Because obviously like it is a bit different and it sort of not doubly penalizes the team who have been put in the box because you've gained your advantage. You've gained your goal. You're basically been told that every minor is now a major, kind of, you know, you are being double, Cardiff were more or less doubly penalized for what they did.
Right. No, it's an interesting rule for sure. I mean, you know, you score 30 seconds into the power play, you still have another minute 30 to get another goal. And I think that it's just, you know, it just emphasizes that you got to stay out of the box or you're going to pay a price.
It's the other way as well, isn't it? I mean, didn't we? Yep. If you score shorthanded, your guy comes out of the box because Tedesco scored, and I didn't know that. I must have missed that part when I was doing my research. But the obviously I can't remember who was in the box at the time. He came out of the box obviously when Tedesco scored, and I like it. I have to admit, I really do like it.
Why?
I might not like it on Friday or Saturday. if we could. You know, if they basically turn up in Luco and you Tampere, but you never know.
To add, Paddy, I was chatting with as coach would say, I was chatting with Killer before the game. I was chatting to Todd before the game, and he was saying it's something that he might think about proposing for the likes of the Challenge Cup, just to do something different. Bring it in to let's roll it through a competition to see if it then we've got something to build on. Does it add goals to the game? Does it add excitement to the game? Because at the end of the day, all these rules that have changed over the years, goal size, etc., is goalie equipment.
In the UK, you may as well play 3-on-3 the whole game.
Yeah.
Well, referees, penalties are going to be called.
I was expecting, you know, as you said, you know, you like it. Is it because it brings more goals? Is it because it feels as if, like, if we were to take that penalty and we were concede three goals in that penalty in the space of 2 minutes, I'd hate that rule. You know, it's just like,
you know, it swings and roundabouts, Paddy. It really is. I mean, obviously, if it had went the other way when Cardiff scored against us, I mean, I touched wood, you know, we did pretty decent, you know, with 100. Well, not pretty decent. We did excellent on the penalty kill all weekend. You know, 100%, you can't do any better than that. And obviously scored a shorty as well. So, again, pre-season form against Cardiff Devils and then going into this weekend against Tampere. It's going to be two completely different things, but I take your point.
Ara, I'm going to queue up the goal from Friday night just because it's nice to score a goal. It's nice to talk about it. But talk through, like, so the eye-hand coordination, that's something that you'll have practiced that you've done a million times in your life, but to bring it off for a game time goal with seconds left, 6-on-4 goalie pull, must be extra special. So I'm just going to add it in the stream here and we'll watch it in speed and then we'll watch it in slow-mo and you can talk us through it.
Yeah, I think at this point it was 6-on-4 there at the end or 6-on. We had extra guy goalie pulled, but Greg Prince threw one across the net there and it hit my skate. And then I don't know how it popped up, but it somehow hits my skate there, pops up, and then I kind of just whacked at it. You know, I played baseball growing up, so I think that helps with the hand. But yeah, you know, that was awesome. I was fired up. You know, the team was fired up. It's nice to get one out of the way early at home, you know, in front of the home crowd. So, yeah. And also, it, you know, continued the game and, you know, went overtime and into a shootout there. And it was good though. It was a cool moment for sure.
It's interesting as well that you score that goal on Friday night and then Cardiff get quite not a similar goal, but a goal that bounces off the backboards and has to be batted out of the air as well.
Yeah, they had a goal Saturday night. Yeah, their guy missed the net, hits the glass, pops right out, and then their guy taps it in.
It's that, like you say, David, it's that quick hand-eye coordination where you just have to, you know, not just that, but keep your stick low. And keep it low so you're not being called high sticks.
Well, yeah, I seen Bouncy. As soon as it went in, Bouncy was giving it the.
I had a coach in high school who at the end of practice, we would just sit at the back door and he would just throw pucks and you just whack like, you know, 10 or 20 pucks in the net. Just a little end of the practice drill, but I think that stuff helps for sure.
So what Simon
says, you need to text him and tell him you got your first goal in Belfast doing that drill. So bit of credit to him.
I definitely will. Yeah.
As Simon has says, you've only been in here about a week or so. How has the settling in been going? You know, it's trying to find your feet.
It's been great. You know, the setup here is awesome. The city's awesome. You know, we're a walk away from the downtown and. Just cool. A lot of history here. A lot of stuff to do. You know, like you said, we've only been here 10 days, but I still feel like I have so much to do. I played a few rounds at the Hollywood course, so that's nice. Been fun.
Already?
Yeah, I had to get out there a few times.
You're playing today, weren't you?
Today I played. Just nine holes with Jacob Friend.
So, Ara, you were sold by Steve Thornton, Adam Keefe, etc. You were sold a picture. This is what you can expect when you come to Belfast. Bring your clubs with you. We'll sort you out with golf. You'll have nice digs. You'll get a car. There'll be a gym. There'll be food. It'll be whatever. Has it lived up to expectations? Is it better than expectations? Like, I'm not trying to bum the club up too much here, but the players do seem to be pretty well looked after in Belfast.
Yeah, it's better. It's better than the expectations for sure. I mean, It truly is a world-class organization. You know, we're treated really well, treated, you know, like professionals should be. And, you know, everything here has for sure exceeded my expectations and what I thought coming in. So it's been great. It's been great. And, you know, that just makes you more excited for the season, more excited to play, you know, and it's been awesome.
Obviously, you've got Logan with you, but you've also got Whit with you.
Whit's over here.
I can hear Whit going backwards and forwards there.
I know.
Sit.
Oh, hello, Whit.
If anybody, listening in
as well.
You see him tilting
hello.
His head?
Hey, Whit.
How old
and
is
obviously,
he?
You know, Whit's made some friends as well with Guinness, and you've got Rue, and there's also Puck. So, you know, keeping him company anyway.
But we talked last week on the pod. Who had we on last week, Simon? Remind me. It was a week ago now.
Sean Norris and Matt McLeod.
Yeah, so with Matty McLeod on, and he was talking about he's doing university this year, and he's really happy, you know, in the space that he's in. He's in a happy place, and you've got your dog with you, and you're saying that you're in a good setup there. That happiness has to translate onto the ice. You know, if you're happy away from the rink, then, you know, it stands the reason that you should be happy going to it as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's a form of, you know, comfortability. You know, I come back, I see Logan, I see, you know, Witt, and I'm also doing school as well, through LaSalle. So, it's just, you know, everything has just worked out really well, in terms of, you know, getting over here and the setup and all that. So, and, you know, there's plenty of grass for him to run around. So that's also fun.
What are you studying? What course are you doing at the?
I'm doing the MBA through LaSalle. So at UNH, I was a sports management and leadership major, business minor, and then now I'll have the MBA through LaSalle. So,
and how big a factor is that whenever the Giants came to recruit, that opportunity to play, prepare yourself a little bit more for life after hockey, for the real world, as we sadly call it, but, you know, for whatever comes down the line, that this is a real big stepping stone for you as well?
Yeah, at first I wasn't going to do the program, and then I talked to Steve more about it, and you know, it just makes sense. It's just another, you know, a great addition to your resume, and not only that, but I'm also going to learn a lot through this program that is going to help me down the road, and, you know, help me potentially land a job down the road whenever I'm done playing. And it just helps you, you know, set yourself up for success down the road, which is important. So
fantastic. Well, listen, I know you've got an early start tomorrow. It's a long journey out to Finland, two games, and which face off less than 24 hours beyond each other, which is going to be a real challenge, especially with the teams that you will face. But thanks for joining us, mate, and a good goal on Friday. Good performance over the weekend, and we're hoping to see more.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
See you soon.
Cheers, guys.
Big thanks to Aaron Azarian for his time. We have George Iwata waiting in the wings. Before we go to him, we had Sis had a chance to pop down to training and chat to Quinn Preston and to Charlie Curley.
Charlie Curley, after practice Monday morning. Charlie, you're only in 5 days. You've already got two games under your belt. What do you think of the challenge of the weekend from the Cardiff Devils?
Obviously a great challenge. Yeah, great challenge. They got a great team. We got a good squad. We're going to match up well this year. So it's going to come down to whoever competes. It feels like every game there is going to be a playoff game. Even friendlies aren't so friendly. So really good, you know, getting thrown right into the fire. You know, getting used to a bunch of new guys. But I can really tell that this is going to be a special group. On and off the ice, we got a really good bond already. And so looking forward to the challenge of the entire league. And what it's going to take to get the trophies this year.
This is your second trip to Northern Ireland. Obviously, you were here a few years ago with with Yale for the Friendship Four. Have you seen any changes in the city since you were here, or have you noticed anything?
Well, we were with family, and then we were practicing, focusing on hockey a lot. Obviously, the weather's a tad bit better here now, but it was a little cold and rainy when we came the last time. But so it's nice to see the sunshine a little bit, lighten up the city a little bit, and seeing everyone outside and enjoying it. Getting a little extra chance, a little more time here in training camp to walk around town, get a feel for it, get my sense of direction down.
CHL, we're off to Finland on Wednesday. Must be looking forward to the challenge at that level.
Oh, absolutely thrilled. You know, I followed the CHL for a few years once I was aware of it. You know, once you look beyond North American hockey and see what kind of quality hockey there is out there, and kind of the difference in pace and style of play with every league. And I'm really excited to see how we match up at that level. I think we got a lot of fast, disciplined players that can really compete and surprise people.
Look forward. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.
Quinn Preston, after practice on Monday morning, what do you think about the games against Cardiff at the weekend? Obviously, the massive crowd at the SSE Arena on Saturday. Lost my days.
Yeah.
On Saturday, and then making the trip over to Friday. So you got it wrong. And then making the trip over to Cardiff on Saturday. What was your thoughts on the two games?
I was really excited, especially to get in front of the home crowd for the first time, see what it was like there. I think we let a couple slip, but we got some stuff to work on. I think Saturday we played a lot better, had a lot more chances. So I think we're getting closer to where we want to be. And just exciting, obviously. It's my first time overseas, first games overseas. So I was just trying to soak it all in and play my game, play fast and have fun.
Bigger ice. You enjoying that part of it?
Oh, yeah. A little extra space out there makes it a lot of fun. Just getting that extra step, a little second, I think. I think I'd kind of like adjust to it early. Like some places in North America, you wouldn't have as much space. Here, you can just take an extra stride and make a little extra time for yourself. So I'm definitely enjoying it.
It's blatantly obvious that you're a bucket load of skill. I've seen your Michigan attempt on Saturday. Talk us through that.
Yeah, it was just a little broken play behind the net in overtime. I knew the two guys, the one guy that was covering me, kind of got tied up and puck was on edge. So I just tried to scoop it up real quick. It rolled on me a little bit when I got it out in front of the net. So I kind of hesitated, but just in the moment, just trying stuff, trying to do some fun stuff, exciting stuff.
This weekend, big challenge. You're off to Finland on Wednesday evening. You must be looking forward to the challenge for sure.
Oh yeah, I'm really excited for this. It's a real test to see where my game's at for the season coming forward, and I'm excited to see what they got over there. Obviously, they got a lot of skill, a lot of speed. They've been together a little longer than us, but I think we'll go out there, give them a hard time, and just try to soak it all and have a good time.
Cheers, Kuk. Thank you.
Cheers, thank you.
As a man who's been follically challenged for the guts of well over 20 years now, when Quinn Preston took to the blue line before the game on Friday without not wearing his helmet, I give him a round of applause. That hair is absolutely magnificent. Like it's wonderful. And when he puts the helmet on, it just comes out the side as well. It's just like that cracker, absolute belter. I thought he had a great weekend as well. Oh, great! I thought he had a great weekend.
Yeah, this kid's good. Like this kid is good, and you know, again, it's you see it and. Wee spurts and just what he can do with a puck. He was out there on Monday. I was up in Dundonald just watching the guys practice, and it's just unbelievable. It really is. Yeah. It's skillful, really smart, and you know he sees the ice really, really well as well. So
just when you're talking, I'm just going to try before maybe even when George comes on there. His goal.
Yeah,
we were talking about it before you came on, Paddy. This might be
yes.
here, actually.
It's
speed,
here.
The speed of the release off the stick is what gets the goal. Maybe I'm just sorry, I'm scrolling.
No, it's the next one. It's the third one, isn't it?
That's us there now. There. So I'll pause it at this stage. You can introduce the fabulous guest, and he can talk.
Absolutely.
He can talk us through.
Well, let's do that. And we'll welcome back to your view from the bridge, one of the assistant coaches of the Belfast Giants. That is George Iwata. Welcome back, mate.
Thanks, guys. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Davey was just going to cue you in there and this goal from Quinn Preston. We just talked about him and his hair, but mostly about his goal scoring technique and your thoughts on what we see here.
It was a pretty nice goal. The kid has very good hands, but is better than his hands is a shot. And his release, and Besko can attest to that, because even in our little mini games, he was clipping Besko, and Besko's hard to score on, and he realizes good shooters. And he picked it out right away, saying this kid's got one of the best shots he's seen in a long time. So for him to get that opportunity in that space, it's good to see, you know, being confident in the first game like that, and we just want to see more of it. The second game there, you know, but that first weekend, like he was saying earlier in that interview, it's his first time here. But I think a lot of these guys, it's their first time over, and they're acclimated pretty quickly. And it was great to have that competition with Cardiff, because they, you know, we tapped them even before we stepped on the ice, being one of the better teams in the league. And George, it just gave us a good marker.
Yeah, he gets that when you see the basically he has the camera who it was in front of him, he has the screen in front of him. It's a little bit of a toe drag and changes.
Yep.
You know, bounce is basically coming out. Adam has his bounce coming out. It's that little bit of a toe drag and then snap over the shoulder. I thought it was an absolutely brilliant goal.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's all there. Like you said, the Michigan, like no one tries that unless you have that awareness and ability to do it and the timing. And I mean, anyone can do it maybe when there's nobody around, but he tried it in the middle of a game. And he says it's for fun, but it is. He's at that level. He tries these things because he has the ability. Yeah. And you see he's a couple steps ahead. You know, he's still, I don't want to say he's a young kid, but he has a lot to learn. But it's just great to have him with us right now. And hopefully, like I said, he gets confidence in his game so he can, with the big sheet, he can pull and snap all night and score goals like that for sure.
He tries it in a preseason game, though. Would he be thanked for trying it if it was a – if it was a league game against Cardiff and the game was
you know,
online.
If you can pull it off against Tampa, yes, I'm gonna give him a hug. You know, like because you know it's the unexpected thing, right? You know, and like we're not gonna sit over here like Tortorella and say it's the worst thing for the game. All this skill, you know,
it is
what it is. And if like I said, if you can do it, you can do it. Not everyone can pull and snap. He did it, so. But you know, again, it's not the first option you look for. But if like again, like I said, if you read the ice and see the game, know where your mark is, it's there. Why not? You know, and yeah. But if he's doing it every time, and it's just like it's a sideshow, then you're just like then the keeper's got to sit down with him and say no more.
So when it came to this weekend, George, from a coaching perspective and your coaching team there, did you get everything that you wanted from the weekend against Cardiff?
I think so. It's the winning's, you know, important and stuff. And obviously losing in overtime, you know, we had an option. We came back in those games, which is kind of, I guess you'd like to see that from a virtually new squad, you know, especially with our decor. Again, it's just like last year, we bring all these new guys in and they got to learn our process and our ways. So it's just taking those steps. But I think that especially that second night, you know, it's tough travel. It's waking up, getting there. Repeat. We were delayed a bit in the airports and stuff. So the guy showed up, performed, had a good start, faltered a little bit, but you know, it was a good first weekend. Like I said, Cardiff's a very good team. So for us to match well against them, it's just good signs, you know, early days, I guess, but it's just good to see the guys come in. Like I said, like for someone like Quinn and all the other guys that are just meshing early. And hopefully they can just grow and grow, especially after going into this weekend, but after this weekend here coming.
One thing I'm interested in, George, is how players transition from the small ice to the 200 foot ice across in the UK here. Obviously, some of the guys, and we have recruited over the last lot of years, like Sato's played in Finland before, guys that have experience in Europe, but how those guys come in. And was it Quinn you were talking to, Simon, mentioned about the bigger ice, having that extra yard of space to play with, you know, having that extra space to make a play, you know, it's almost like a new lease of life on them getting onto that big pad.
Yeah, no, it totally is. And I was talking to Prince about it too, you know, because he's used to working hard in the corners and he still does, but I was just like, now you got some more room, you know, you don't have to go through the middle all the time, you know, use your speed and stuff. So it's for us to help them understand they do have more time, but also again, these are smart players, right? And skillful players. So sooner they realize they do have a split second, they can start showing off their skill a little bit more and not have to chip and chase like they do back in the coast when, you know, and playing on those small barns. So, you know, it's, the sooner they get used to it, the better. It's good for us. And especially playing against these high-end teams, Finland and Austria and stuff, it's going to help them see how the game is, you know, played at almost the highest level in Europe on the big sheet. And as coaches too, we learned a lot, you know, just watching, you know, those games in Davos and Schleffley, like seeing those teams do what they do. It helps us as well. And I know the players see that in the skill level and hopefully emulate it and just realize there's more room and to use it.
I don't know whether that was the same for you when you came here. Am I right in saying when you went straight to Phoenix, you were probably in Altrincham already?
No, they weren't.
MEN? MEN. Yeah, so you went straight on the big ice. I couldn't remember because it was 03, 04 or something. But then you came here before they went to Altrincham, obviously. Yeah. But you also had a transition period then from NCAA and AHL, ECHL before you came to the UK and went on the 200. Can you take any of that experience, or is that so long ago in the career now, you know, that learning that you did then is transferable to guys now?
The thing is that a lot of colleges are Olympic sheets.
Yeah.
So a lot of these kids that are coming here, these guys, they've already had experience on Olympic sheets, and then maybe they go to the coast and it's a smaller rink. So they've had enough time, enough practice playing on big sheets. And for myself as well, way back when, when I was playing junior hockey, we were one of the first teams to have an Olympic sheet. We played at the Mariucci where the Golden Gophers play in Minnesota. And, it was, you know, I was 18 years old playing on a Olympic size sheet, and it was great. You just skate all day and have fun. It was almost like bandy or pond hockey. You know, just there's all the room in the world. So it just, it's a different thing. Obviously it's less physical. And when I went to college, it was the same thing. I was an Olympic sheet in St. Cloud. So I know Tedesco played an Olympic sheet. He's played European hockey. So a lot of these guys have had touches and experience on the big sheet. And the ones that don't, again, like I said, if their brains and their skill can match up to the size of the rink, they're going to benefit from it. And again, and that's our job. If they're still playing inside a, you know, 185 foot kind of a zone and a, you know, in a whatever 80 foot rink, we'll help them expand their game and spread out a little bit and just help them acclimate a little bit, like I said. And this weekend's it's going to be a good test, because we're going to have to use all the ice to skate with these guys for sure.
Yeah.
George, we always look at the positives coming out of the weekends. Obviously, the performance on Saturday was better than what it was on Friday, I think, overall. And the one thing that you really came out of, you must have been very happy with over the weekend, was the penalty kill. With only having, you know, 5 days practice, 3 to 4 days practice, obviously, with the boys. You know, did you get enough time to work on that? Or is that just something that, you know, they just, you know, got together and managed to do a good job?
Yeah, you know, it's not hard. You have to compete, you know, and work harder than the power play, you know, and Mace has taken over kind of implementing what we've been doing or what we did last year, you know, but he's put the focus on it. So he's had a couple of meetings with the team just to kind of get their head straight a little bit. Like, we like to go aggressive, we like to pressure, we like to do these things. And it's kind of easy for the guys. You just open the door and let them go crazy. And that helps the kill in itself. And obviously it was a good challenge having the full 2 minutes of kill, even though we didn't give up goals and stuff, but it was just like having that 2 minutes, like we're going to have this weekend. It was just a good experience, like I said, and there was plenty of penalties and all sorts this weekend, and we were just throwing numbers up and guys out. And like I said, it's early enough in the season. They're fresh, they're hungry. And it's you play aggressive, you compete, you're going to have more success than not. And it was good to see it, because this time of year, teams don't have their power play up to scratch either. Right. So you can do all you want, or do nothing at all. And power plays are almost in the same situation. So just like our style of play is just force and pressure. And it's pretty easy on the kill, because you got nothing to lose. You just have to ice it and then reset.
When I brought Charlie Curdy in last week, it must be good to have another mini boy in the locker room as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, you know, like, this is my first kind of off season of recruiting or being a part of the recruiting process. And Thoritz kept throwing all these Minnesota boys up there. It looked like he was really begging for us to take one. You know, there was a list of them. I'm like, you know, like when we went through them and stuff, it was what it was. But then for Charlie to come on in late in the game like this, it was cool. You know, I don't know him. I know where he's from, and I know some of his coaches and where he skates and stuff, but it is kind of cool. And we were talking, and I think I was the first, I think. And then Welchy was here. Is that right?
Tom Welchy.
So there's only been like three of us, which is hard to imagine with the amount of players that come out of Minnesota to play hockey. But again, it's global now, right? So they're everywhere. But it was just kind of funny how he's landed here. But again, it's his connection from Yale and the Frozen Four. It's all full circle, and it's great.
How much fun is that to have someone from back home to sort of like, you've been through the system, you've came to Giants, you broke so many records, it's such a good one, so much stuff, and to have a kid from home come to where you are now in Belfast and sort of, this is your home now,
they can talk about the Vikings, they can listen to Prince music,
music it is to listen to, right
there, you know. It is cool. Actually, it was funny because it's kind of an inside joke, but I was going to have him run to Target for me and bring some stuff over, because it's massive in Minnesota, and it's the Walmart or the, I don't know what else to say comparable over here, but it is nice to have those connections. And again, like even throughout his playing career, I know where he's played and the coaches and the players he's been with. And it's cool, you know. But even Kohei, I have a connection to Kohei for some reason. He played North Iowa with, like, in the coach. I think he's from Minnesota, Rochester or something. And there was like a dozen players from Minnesota that I trained that played with Kohei in North Iowa. So it's great. And this was Kohei's first, he was playing in NA3. And it just, you know, that's how small the hockey world is. And then, so even with him, we're talking about kids from Minnesota and everything. So I was busy when I was over there, when I stopped playing and, you know, staying in the game. And it just kind of seen, you know, it's nice to have Charlie from Minnesota, but there's all these other players I have some connection with, just again, because Minnesota hockey it's pretty big. It's one of the biggest in the States. And so, the kids that I've worked with have grown up now and they played all over the country in colleges and pro, and it's great. It's fun. It's hilarious. And same with Quinn. There's like three or four kids that he's played with. Like, oh yeah, I was talking, you know, before I came over, this and that. So it is a small world. I'm a lot older than these guys, but it's kind of cool to see that, some of the stuff I was doing back there is kind of connected somehow to help me, you know, just bond with these guys a little bit and get to know them.
But with that, how much of a, not really sure what the question is, you know, how good does that make you feel? You know, you're at the stage in your career now where you're almost paying the game back for, you know, you're in coaching, you're staying involved in the game, paying the game back that you've had so much love for throughout your whole career. You can't play it anymore, so you're giving back in a different way, and you're bringing these kids up here now, like walking in the same path you walked 20 years ago. Must be really nice.
Yeah, it is cool, and it's funny. Like, there's a kid I trained. He played at RPI, and he also played at Quinnipiac. So he's been here twice, I think, for the Frozen Four, and he or not the Frozen Four, the Friendship. And then he sent me a picture every time he was here. He sent me a picture of me holding the Challenge Cup or whatever in the hallway. And, you know, so yes, it is kind of cool helping these guys out. I've always, even like, again, like you said before, when I was back home, I was training some college and pro guys and stuff. And I was always calling up Kiefer or Thortz or whoever was here, trying to get them here, even before I was here. Just because I knew it was what a great organization, where you know, it's a great place to start or finish in their career. So I've always been trying to filter in guys I know here, and they just, obviously there's so many good players that are available to this team. You know, it's hard to get them all. But like Justin Crandall, Kevin Schultz, those guys, I've trained those guys when they were just peewees and mites and stuff. And so it's great. You know, obviously they made it to this league. It's kind of cool, but it's great. It's cool for me because I wanted to get into coaching, but it just took a different path, got in development and then getting here now. And then, yeah, just seeing guys from my area that I know, it is cool. It is humbling, but it's pretty cool.
If I bring it back just briefly to you, I know it says talk to you there about the penalty kill and stuff. And we spoke to Aaron Azarian just 10 minutes ago, and we were talking about the rule in the Champions Hockey League with regards to, you know, the 2 minutes and not a player not getting released on the power play when a goal is scored. How are you guys approaching that? Is there any change in the way that you look at it? I guess it becomes a lot more dangerous to go into the box, obviously, but it feels like a significant change.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like, you know, like I'm saying, we got to focus on our kill. Obviously we don't want to take penalties and that's inevitable at some point, but it's good to have this onus early on in the season to promote discipline, you know, and we want to win the games or be in the games as long as they're as best we can. So that's one thing, not to give them an advantage. You know, we don't want to give the puck up and we don't want to give them power plays for 2 minutes because the skill level over there, it's just next level stuff. So, you know, Kiefer's just been hammering home that we just stay out of the box. And if we're going to kill, we got to go aggressive. And if we're aggressive, we get a chance to score, go score, then it's over, you know? So it's still playing hockey. But it was good. We were practicing our power play today, a little extra reps just for that reason. If we do get on the power play, that could help us no matter, you know, whichever way the game's going, that could help us get back in the game. You know, having unlimited chances to score if we do score one, you know, like the 5 minute major. So we can take a positive out of it and not be scared of it. And I think this, like I said, this weekend was a good thing. And you saw that with that first period in Cardiff. Yeah. It was crazy. Like we could have had like four more, I think.
Yeah.
And the guys didn't let up. They were just, things were clicking and working and we're getting rebounds and stuff. So if we can bring that kind of bonus into this weekend, you know, hopefully we'll take advantage of what we have on either side of it, power play or penalty.
And just one more question for me before I let you go. Obviously, you know, it is a big, we've talked about the weekend and myself and Sam and Davey will go on to talk about it a little bit more. But you spoke there that you were involved in, quite involved in the recruitment. How do you feel the balance is of these guys this year?
It's great so far. You know, like, you know, yeah, it's still early days. But I think it was there, you know, Kiefer challenged them pretty good there on Saturday and they responded. And it's a good, you know, it's a good group, you know, like you saw the skill level, you know, Simon sees it at practice. So it's there, you know, all day. And even today we had a great skate and it was like, okay, it's not like we're advanced, you know, obviously we're going to get better with our systems and everything, but the guys are competing and playing hard. And that's kind of what we wanted to bring back into this, you know, to this new season. You know, obviously we can't, yesterday's yesterday, so we can't hang on those laurels anymore. We gotta go. And every meeting we had about these players was, we need them, you know, obviously skills huge, but skating and competing it's a big thing. It helped us last year. We saw how well Guilford did last year, and obviously, you know, all these other teams have good fast players, and we just, every team's going to be proud of what they put together. And I think these guys are off to a good start. And hopefully we just keep building on what we do with our foundation and how we play, and we get to where we want to be faster. And then once we hit the league and the Challenge Cup and everything, then we're at full steam.
Fantastic. Well, listen, George, we really appreciate you taking the time, because obviously you've got a big travel day tomorrow and a hell of a weekend ahead. So we really appreciate you taking the time to come and join and chat this. And good luck this weekend, and no doubt we'll see you through the season.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
George, thank you.
Cheers, George. Thank you.
Big thanks to George Awada for taking the time. Obviously, you know, it's such a big weekend ahead, and a lot of preparation has to go into it. But David, your line of question in regards to the guys coming in from Minnesota and what it means there is fantastic. It just shows, we talk about how the hockey world can be a small one, and how things can come back around, not just for the guys who are on the ice, but obviously for the coaching team as well.
Obviously, I like, my first love is East Belfast and this team that represents this great city of ours. And these guys come from North America. And I know I've said this to exhaustion. These guys come and represent my city because I'm not good enough. Would I love to play for the Belfast Giants? Of course I would. Would I have loved to? Yes, but I'm never going to be good enough. And these guys come from all across North America and Europe or wherever they've came from. You have the likes of Roman Cavalier and Marty Klempa and all that came from Eastern European countries. You know, they come and they represent Belfast, and loads of them stay and they make my home their home. And I don't think there can be a bigger compliment than Northern Ireland. And, you know, these guys have came to play hockey and moved their lives here. And then somehow in some twist of fate to go away and to come back again and get a job and come back to the organization, and then bring kids from where they're from in North America who might be the next George Awada in 10 or 15 years from now. Who's to say there's not a future Belfast Giants coach on this team right now? You know, whenever Adam Keefe came in with Daryl Lloyd, and I remember the press release about these two agitating guys that were going to come in and they were going to be fantastic, who would have thought 15 years later Adam Keefe would be a 5-year coach with all the trophies that we've won and all the banners we've hung on? I'm getting like emotional about it, but like,
no, you're
right. This team means so much. And I remember Todd Kelman doing I can't remember if it was an end of season piece or a start of season piece about being, you know, this club means so many things to so many different people for so many different reasons. And, you know, we're just in such a good place, and I feel like I need to reiterate every week to just ride this wave that we're on, because nothing lasts forever. Things will change. Adam won't be the coach forever. Just like, you know, can't even remember his name now. Coach the Wings, did all the success. Scotty Bowman isn't the coach of the Red Wings anymore. You know, things change and things move on. But these guys have made their lives here. They're having their children here. Their kids are growing up in Northern Ireland. They're young Ulster men, women. It's brilliant, and just long may it continue. And just to listen to George getting sort of, not excited, but thinking about Minnesota, but how he now brings, not how he gets from Belfast to Minnesota, how he gets Minnesota kids to Belfast. And that for me is like the ultimate compliment to our town.
Yeah, I thought it spoke very, very well on that. Did you guys, obviously, because I was late to the party, did you guys cover the changes that that were in the rink on at the start of the show? No. Just a couple of notes I read down here. Just your thoughts on, like, on the change. Because obviously, when I walked into the rink on Friday, one of the first things that somebody came up to me and says, have you seen the banners? Now, the retired numbers have moved to the west side of the arena, but the banners have been totally changed with a brand new look to them. Obviously, different colours, and they've got the silhouette of the trophies that were won. Personally, I think it looks great. Sis?
I think it looks unreal. I really did. And to be honest, we knew they were going up, but I didn't know they were going up for that game. I didn't know they were going to be ready for the start of, for the preseason game. So I think they really do add something. And I like the way the retired numbers have now moved to the West End, sort of splits it up a bit. Because sometimes when we have the East End seating in, you can't see those numbers at all.
Yes.
And they do deserve to be recognised. We've had that argument before, you know, maybe not all of them, but you know, there's certainly a lot of...
The guy that's just left us.
He deserves up there.
Has got as good a shite as anybody. Yeah,
we talked about this before. We've said about who should be up there. It's a show on its own. Like, it's a definite show on its own. I really like it. I think Glover's done a brilliant job in the, to get that all up and looking really well. But look, again, there's a lot of hard work coming in over the summer.
Changes to the dressing room as well. It says Robert Fitzpatrick grabbed me by the arm and said, come and have a look at this during the third period, and went down and had a look. And some major changes to the locker room there that look fantastic.
Yeah, they've done a brilliant job. We organ the bench. We did the bench club again last year for the Giants fans to, you know, get behind the scenes. Look, we're going to be doing that again this year. And anybody that did it last year will not recognize the changes. So we'll be looking to bring those in. Hopefully starting, I think it's going to be Saturday the 16th of September. So the OSC will get that up for sale on Saturday the 9th, the next home game. So make sure you get your first opportunity to get in and have a look at the new dressing rooms, because they do look fantastic.
Yeah, it's some real changes in there, and some new technology in there, and some new looks to it. So Anthony Russell saying it's an AVFTV 20th anniversary show, 2-hour special, deciding a name to go to the rafters. He's trademarking that now. Like, we've spoken about this all the time, about how, you know, some names absolutely deserve to be there. One or two names maybe is the push, but there are definitely names that are in the history of the Belfast Giants that that really deserve to be up there.
Yeah, no, there certainly is an argument for arguably 6, maybe 7 more. And look, I know there'll be more added to it over the years. And there certainly is guys that deserve to be there. But again, there's a lot of teams in North America now, not so much retiring the number, but honoring the number. Mm-hmm. So it basically, I mean, the likes of, I don't want to give too much kudos to the clan. They do one every year. But it's, you know, they basically just remember a guy who had a good year. you know what I mean? But it's along those lines, but it's more than one season. You've got to play 3, 4, 5 seasons before you deserve to be honored.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't put Theo Fleury up there. Absolutely not. I think he came in, he had a major impact on this club and did what he did. But is that retireable? Not for me.
No, I totally agree with that.
I think again, you have to look at like the Detroit Red Wings, 97-year-old, 1926 they started, so they're coming up on their 100th anniversary. A handful, maybe 5 numbers retired off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And you've players like, you know, Datsuk Zetterberg, not even in the conversation.
Yeah, not even,
and won't
not even
ever be in a conversation for a retired jersey.
No.
As great as they were. Different level, like, you know, 6-time Norris Trophy winner, etc. You know, these kind of things have to be honored. Yeah, but like Terry Sawchuk, etc. at the Wings.
But like, you know, my love for the Magic Man and how much, like, what an impact player he was for Detroit. But I agree with you. Like, there's no chance he'll ever be in the conversation for the number 13 to go up there, which is a bit painful because I think he is such a fantastic player. But
Follows me on Twitter for some reason too.
Pat Myles. Because only
NH player that I know follows me on Twitter, which is
it's because he knows that you know the Belfast hat trick, and he just wants
wants Chris Higgins pajamas.
Well, I was thinking about trying to there was a bit of any news, and there's absolutely no news except for one piece of news. And
I love this.
There's only one piece of news.
I know what's coming here.
It's the fact that the Sheffield Steelers don't know how to spell Sheffield.
put a the video on of the time lapse, which, by the way, the time lapse videos are fantastic, and the things blow it. Watching these guys, so professional, these guys are amazing. These guys can't spell Sheffield, lads. This is peaky IHL.
For anybody who's listening in, with obviously the Sheffield Steelers put out a time lapse, and one of the things they wanted to point out as well is the fact that on the center spot they have the letters AG for obviously Alex Graham, who passed away. But when you pull it back, you realize that they'd spelled their sponsor Sheffield Window Center. Sheffield only has one F. They have put out a tweet saying that it will be fixed before the season starts, but they're now going to have to melt the ice, repaint the whole of the center of that advertising, and get it right. It's like there's only one club I could think could do that, and that's the Sheffield Steelers. There are times when this sort of stuff is just, it's comical. But yes, big thanks to them.
The thing about it is, Paddy, there's an awful lot of work involved to get right, you know. I mean, as you say, I'm pretty sure the Steelers paint their logos on, and in fairness, I mean, obviously the FSI, it does look decent. We take a different approach. We basically have banners below the ice, where everything's spelt properly, and you know, it does look.
I'm probably checked before it goes out.
I'd check that before we.
What's that?
I would double check that just before we say.
No, it's all definitely. I definitely put the F on for a cab. It's definitely looking okay. But look, again, it's these things happen, and you know, there was a bit of a chuckle when I did see it coming out, but it's. Don't get me started on it.
One of the comments as well, and it is one I do remember from, I think it was from our fifth season, and the shirts that were made by CH Sports in our fifth season, that on the, if you looked at the actual Belfast Giants logo inside the shirt behind there where the label was, it didn't say Belfast Giants on it. It said Belfort Giants. And
Glover brought that up today. But again,
who owns CH Sports back then? I just can't remember.
Who it was.
Somebody else.
I can't think.
The name escapes me.
Can't remember. Sporting regards, anyway. Sporting regards. Right. Well, then, guys, listen. Let's start to wrap things up by just having a look at. Look at this weekend that we're and the games we're going to face. Friday, 4:30 p.m. UK time, 6:30 p.m. in Finland. The Giants will play Lukarama. The game will be live on Viaplay. Did we ever get to the end of that? Anyway, Viaplay Extra, Channel 420 on Sky. If you have Sky, Luka will play in the Kivikland Kellen Arena, I'll not get that right, in Rauma. They won a bit of a preseason tournament in the last month or so. It's one that they hold every year against like a TPS and Saipa and who else? Jokrit. They won that tournament that they have, but then they've had three preseason games since then and only won one of them. Regards to players in that team, they've got two players on unsigned rights of Carolina and two Canadian forwards. In Braden Burke and Gabriel Fontaine, both of which have pretty solid AHL numbers. And then on the Saturday, 3 p.m. here in Belfast, 5 p.m. in Finland, it's the CHL and Finnish League champions in Tapara Tampere. Again, it's on Viaplay Extra. They've had a pretty mixed preseason also. One win and the last game they played was a loss against Pelicans, who they defeated in the playoffs at the back end of last year. They have a few players who are on a turn with Nashville, Columbus, and Calgary. And Nick Baptiste is on their side. He played for the Sabres for a bit. He also played in Cologne with Germany and for the Marlies. Davey, it's a tough weekend ahead.
Yeah, my favourite part of the show, Paddy. I'm not going to say too much. Look, we're going on this European adventure.
Yes.
What is it, half a dozen, five, six games that we're going to, and we have to do our utmost to get a result every night. Use this as getting petrol in the tank as well for what's going to be a challenging upcoming, you know, Challenge Cup and Elite League season. We're going to hopefully play 70-odd games again this season, go right to the last game of the season. So, you know, this is all money in the bank, if you like, in terms of physicality for the boys going forward. It's a great experience for them. We're going to play in some brilliant rinks and some brilliant cities over the next few weeks. And all we can go at do is every shift, break it down in the shifts, boys, and just go and give your all for this club and this city for while we're in this tournament. And every time we've been in this tournament, we've came up with a result. And am I expecting us to win six? No, but I'd like us to. But, you know, you go out there and you just try and compete every shift and you'll see what way the cards fall. I'm not going to get too bent out of shape about whatever the scores are. I hope that during this run, we come up with a result. We'll shock somebody. We'll put our name across Europe well, like we have done every time we've competed in this tournament. And everybody that goes has an absolutely wonderful time in these great cities you're going to go and visit.
As I said, I think it was when Aaron Azaria's on, says the two, it's not as if the games were tough enough as they are. And a big shout there to Jeff Baum's dad, Jeff Baum. It's not as if the two games are tough as they are, but the face-off times are less than 24 hours apart.
You know, you've got to just get on with the way the schedule's fallen on us this year. It's not really fantastic. But, you know, we have a young team, young-ish team. There's a couple of, you know, mid-30s, but the majority of them are, I think our average is about 27. So they're just going to have to find a way. You know, the most important game, we talk about this every single week, the most important game is the next one. So go out there, do your best. As Davey touched on, you know, just, you know, empty the tank in game one. Game two is going to be tough. I mean, there's, you give a resume there of
CHL champions, league champions.
Yeah.
Arguably one of Europe's leading ice hockey leagues.
And the have arena.
Fun is what I would be saying. This is the greatest time of your life.
Yeah. Enjoy it. Half of the arena is just simply sensational. That's where they played the World Championships 4 months ago. You know, and it's going to be a tough, tough ask. It's, you know, are we expecting them to win four or two games over this weekend? I think everybody will put their hands up and go, no. But, like, everybody ties their laces the same way, but when you're putting your skates on, get stuck in. So if you can get in there and get on the, you know, concentrate in the first one, stay in the penalty box, stay disciplined. It's going to be absolutely vital. The discipline this weekend is going to have to be top, top notch because, you know, the Finnish teams are fast. They've been practicing for 12 or 14 weeks now. We haven't even had 12 or 14 days. So their budgets are through the roof. You know, ours, depends on who you listen to in the Elite League, of what our budget is. But look, we'll represent the EIHL well. Of no doubt, we'll go out and we'll do our best. It's going to be very tough.
It's an interesting one as well. It's like, obviously, we've got the three away games in the CHL that are coming back-to-back with two this week, and then we go on to Innsbruck. Arguably, when you look at the form tables and the way it is, it's the three away games which are the toughest of all the games. When it comes to that, we'll talk about the CHL battles at home when they come next week and then on to October time. But I can see that the Belfast Giants can certainly get something out of this. Let's be realistic. This is not a trophy that we are realistically have a chance of winning. When you see the teams that are up there, like Luka, like Tampa, these are the ones that, like, as reigning CHL champions, they'll probably be designs on winning it again. But the Belfast Giants can either win or they can learn. And that's what we're going to get from this weekend. It's a win or learn scenario. You know, what abilities do we have? What speed do we have? What skill do we have? Can we gel some more? What can we bring into the Elite League season? Because we are going after those three trophies that still sit in the SSE arena. Friday, 4:30 UK time. That's 6:30 in Finland. And then Saturday, 3 p.m. in Belfast. And that's 5 p.m. in Finland for those two games, both on Viaplay Extra. And you, that's what it's Channel 420 on Sky. And you, I think it's basically what replaced Free Sports. So you should be able to get it on most platforms. Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing what this Belfast Giants team can do. Any other business, boys?
Well, the game there on Friday, I was speaking to Andrew at Franklin Sports Bar, and it's going to be on their screens on Friday afternoon.
Oh, brilliant.
You know, we had a really good time down there last year, and I think I was there for two of the games last year. So, you know, if you're stuck for somewhere to watch the game, get yourself down to Franklin Sports Bar. It should be really good. Just one thing there about Wee Blakes. We put it a jersey. I mean, I know that the Boston trip finishes tomorrow. I think it is, Davey, isn't it?
It was only 7 days. We were meant to put it on for 10, but...
No. I'm talking about the Boston trip. I think it finished the 31st. Finished. You've got your last chance to win that trip to Boston. You know, best of luck to everybody who's basically bought a ticket for off raffle. We really do appreciate your support and every little helps. And there's one other one up for grabs there. If you're not into going to Boston and you don't want to make a trip across the pond, you've got an opportunity here for a weekend at the playoffs. So you have two tickets to the playoffs, two flights from Belfast City Airport, two nights in the Park Plaza, supplied by our friends at Sports Entertainment Tours. So thanks to Sean and John at Sports Entertainment Tours for their support. And look, again, you get a chance to, I think there's a £3 a ticket for the playoff weekend trip. Mm-hmm. So, but there's only two or three days left in that as well. So, If you can spare a few quid, get yourself a raffle ticket off one or two of those. We'll put up the information on Twitter after the show. And best of luck.
Absolutely. Davey, nothing from you. Right, in which case then, let's just wrap things up. Gents, as I said, Friday, 4:30 on Viaplay, or good luck to everybody who's traveling over. That's a hell of a road trip. I'm very jealous of all those who'll be traveling those two games in Finland.
My mum always said not to be jealous of anybody, but I definitely have a level of envy it's just here. Like, and Neil, the coach, Russell talks about it. Robert Fitzpatrick talks about it as well. It's the time of year. Kids go back to school next week. There's uniforms to be bought.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything shameful to say. I can't afford to go. I would love to be in Finland this weekend, having a bit of crack, and more than anything, supporting my team that I love dearly. But this week, it's going to be sat in front of the TV with a notepad, taking stats and being a nerd and just enjoying every moment of it. Because, listen, the winter's better than the summer.
That's it. I am with you 100% on that, Davey. And, you know, getting back to the hockey last weekend, as I know you did yourself, I know you did as well, says it stirred something back in me, the fact that the game is back and we've got a team here to follow once more. And I'm like you, I'm very envious of everybody who's making that trip over to Finland. Fair play to them. I don't have the money to do that, unfortunately. But yeah, I hope everybody that
Paddy's saving to go to Turkey. Aren't you?
I'm saving to buy a new computer. That's what I'm saving for.
You see him, he'll be like, this time next year, says he'll be like Quinn Preston, you know, he'll be like, Been to Turkey for my holiday. So back on my mullet.
New teeth, new hair. Yep, 4:30 p.m. on Friday, Lucarama away, and 3 p.m. on Saturday, Tapara Tampere away in the Champions Hockey League. Big thanks to Aaron Nazarian and to George Awada. Big thanks to Quinn Preston and to Charlie Curley. Thanks for getting those says. Thanks to you, Davey, for cutting the video, and also. Thanks to you two gents for stepping in when I had absolute disasters at the start of this show. It happens. You can get us at AVFTV on Twitter. You're on Facebook. We are on kingdomofthegiants.com. You can get us on YouTube, Twitter. What else? Well, Facebook. And you get us all your normal podcast providers. And wherever you are this weekend, especially if you're over in Finland.
See the message at the bottom there? You obviously didn't tell your brother you get home okay, Paddy.
Was it done? Is there a message from our Jonath? Oh, there he is. I did, Jonath. Thanks. I didn't see him at the end of the game either. I just sort of disappeared. Yeah, it happens. But wherever you are this weekend, especially if you're making that travel, that trip over to Finland, we really hope you enjoy your hockey. LFG, AVFTB. Thanks, Jeff Baum. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Podcast Network.